I'll ask a question. By a show of hands, who in here would like to maybe one day start their own business? That's an awesome thing. Now, let me ask you a second question to go with that. If you start a business, you're going to need what? You're going to need people to work for you. So you get the business started. You get the grant. You get everything you need, you know, the purpose. You get the funding, and you start your business. You open this place up. You fill it up with the machines you need. You get all the material to put the product out. Then what do you need now? You need people. You need workers. How many people would hire somebody just to fire them? this is a serious question. How many people would hire you, or hire someone just to fire them? You're going to hire this person just so you can ride them and next week get rid of them. That's not what the business is about. When you hire people, you're really looking for somebody who's going to help advance your idea, your concept, your business, help to fund your legacy, the thing that you put together. But somehow, we get it in our minds, and I've been there, that I get a job that these people are just going to get rid of me. They don't like me. They don't know me. Get in mind that they don't like me. I get this self-defeated attitude. You know, I sat in church for a minute, and I get this feeling. Over the years, this feeling comes over me. And I decide, you know what? I'm running up to this altar, and I'm giving my life to God. And I run to the altar, give my life to God, and then go back to the seat, the same old knucklehead that went up there in the first place, thinking God doesn't care for me like he cares for other people. I can't do what everybody else does. I can't speak like her. I can't speak like him. I can't do these things. And then, for a while, though, I get excited. And I work with that for just a little while. But the first time I run into yesterday, I'm so easily drawn back. Years ago, a lady at Broadway Christian Church, Ann Bishop, she wrote a song about me. This was 1995. She wrote a song about me, put my little face on the album cover. And the name of the song was, "Lord, what's your plan for this man?" And the song went, "Why is this man so easily shaken? Why is this man so easily shaken?" And there's some people in the room who knew me. And no, I'm not a pushover. I was never a pushover on the streets. I always was a good fighter. I was a good athlete. I was always a person who wanted to be a leader. But I just couldn't understand why I couldn't hold on. I'd be turned back, same guy that raced to that altar Sunday, by Wednesday was in the crack house. By Wednesday, back in the dope house. And you know what? Then I'd feel guilty for a minute, so I would try to hide. You know, I would try to hide for just a little while, and then somebody would see me. I said this here before. I went out and started preaching a little bit. Went to running my mouth. I'm preaching and going on. I'm in jail just telling the word of God. I'm preaching and I'm all over the block. I'm on fire and preaching and everything. Got out of jail. Out of jail about 2 weeks, back in the crack house. And who do I see in the crack house but one of the guys I was preaching to? Now I just took old big old hit. And he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Lyle, you still preaching?" You know how. I couldn't even talk. I was stuck. I'm a different kind of preacher. I keep it real. See, because I say that for this reason. I know what kept me lost. I know what kept me stuck. I know there are men and women in this room who have a desire to run on. I know that with all my heart. I don't question nobody's desire in this room. I know that with all my heart. But I did not have the power or the strength to run on, and I couldn't understand why. I'm going to read a short passage real quick. Do I remember where it was? Oh, 3:6. Okay. This is Eve in the garden. After the serpent had talked to her, it says, And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I didn't read that about Eve. I read that about Adam. Talking about Adam. Adam knew what he's supposed to do. Adam had the run of the garden. God had given him everything his heart could desire. He walked with him. He said, Adam, I'll feed you. I'll feed you the rest of your life. Just hang out. He said, I'll tell you what, Adam, you take dominion over everything out here. There's nothing out here that's going to be above you. You run this. This is yours. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You don't have to work. You don't got to till the field. Just enjoy life. He said, I'll come down and walk with you. God has given us promises similar to that in our lives, but we didn't believe it. At some point, we didn't believe it. You felt it when he said it. You felt it in your heart. This is it. This is it. 5 years later, you're still stuck in the same thing. But that was it 5 years ago. You knew it was it. Adam was a rebel. Adam wanted to, he just rebelled. He had become complacent. He had become more intrigued with the gift than the giver of the gift. He should have took his woman and put her in her place. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a derogatory way in any women. I don't mean that in a derogatory way to any women in here, because that's not what it's about. God gave man the dominion over your house. God gave man. You know, I had a woman I was dating not long ago. Awesome woman. Beautiful woman. Established woman. Owned her own business. Lived $300,000 house. Just established and everything going. And she wanted to marry me. Asked me to marry her. Which was out of place in the first place. Because God says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. But I considered these things because that Adam in me, that rebel. See, because that sin nature, that nature, that Adam nature in me, that nature to rebel, still there. Because what Adam did, what he did, that became sin nature for all of us. We took up on that nature. So, and I was following that thing for a while. We arguing all the time because she would not follow me for nothing in the world. She wouldn't listen. Hard-headed, stubborn, do things and tell me what she did afterwards. And then now I find myself in a place very, very uncomfortable. I'm talking about saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about clean off drugs for 9 years, and I find myself wanting to shake her up. I'm talking about preaching out the pulpit in my church. I'm talking about traveling into prisons. I'm talking about walking the streets at night, helping people get their lives together. I'm talking about the person people call at night sometimes when they're hurt, when they're scared, and now I'm stuck. Because I'm letting that rebel come out in me because I'm being disobedient to God in the first place, because the word of God says this. It says God cannot look up on sin. So just like if I flip that light switch off, it don't take but a second for that room to get dark. When Adam decided to take that hit on the side, God had to turn. He had to turn. All that power Adam had, all that dominion Adam had. Now that dominion and power is not there, because the only power I have is the power of God that gives me through the Holy Ghost. And when I do something and make a choice, my decision, he's not going to molest me and make me do anything. I understand some principles about the reality of what I need to be doing. And sometimes I get complacent. And when I find myself becoming complacent, it's because I'm not trusting God. I think I am ready for this, and I'm not. And every time I think I'm ready for this, God or lot, he'll get back because I make a decision not based on what he's told me. And in that decision, I have done some things that are less than scrupulous. They're more scrupulous, less than integral. I say it like that. And at that point, God, he does this. And so now I'm left to go on with the power that's always got me in prison. I'm left to go on with the mindset that's always got me running in and out of emergency rooms, in the hospitals, in rehab, in jails. Because that's my best thinking got me jacked up. I need the Lord with me, and I need to be patient. I need to be patient. There's some things I want in life. I desire to be married. I'm 60 years old. I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone. I had to first ask God, ask God, and it's been almost 9 years since I asked God this. I said, Lord, I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone. I don't want to be by myself. I said, Lord, bring me a wife. Bring me a God-fearing woman. Bring me somebody who can get a prayer through for me when I can't get a prayer through for myself. Bring me somebody, Lord, that will follow me as I follow you, Lord. But I had enough presence of mind to say this. I say, but Lord, before you bring her to me, you teach me how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a husband at 50 years old. I didn't know how. Because my way of thinking was jacked up. When I got saved, when I got clean, I realized how much my thinking was really jacked up. I really began to understand how stupid the principles and standards of my life were. And God, I didn't want God. See, for once in my life, I didn't want God to bring me a woman into that mess. I didn't want him to bring me somebody that I was going to mistreat, that I was going to make a mess of, that I was going to get this woman that 6 months after we get to dating, she's going to hate me and I'm going to hate her. We're enemies. The very woman I thought God was going to bring me. So I told him, you wait, God. And God must have really thought I was jacked up because it's been 9 years. But I'm learning. But I'm learning. You know, I went out yesterday with a friend, went to a meeting, and listened to a lady speak last night and talk. She had 25 years. She talked about how her life was and how jacked up it was after she got herself together. The mistakes that she made, how it about cost her life. Because we don't want to surrender everything. We want to hold on to a little something. See, Sherry, if I surrender everything, then I'm not Lyle no more. Tony, if I give it all up, then I'm not the player I thought I was. You know what I mean? See, Fred, if I give it up, then I don't have the game that I thought I had no more. All of a sudden, I don't have the swag I thought I had anymore. I used to go out to the prison. I walked out to the prison in them old dungarees, whatever, and had that cat in my walk. Now, look down the thing like I really got something going on working for 50 cents a day. I'm telling you something. You know when I really realized I was saved? Because I was coming down a corridor, and I see the glass. I see myself in the glass. And I walk like an old man now. There's no swag to me. I walk to get where I'm going. Because I want my swag to be in the Lord. I want God to give me what he has for me. And see, when God gives it to me, I want to be able to do it right. Because when he gave Adam began to make a fool of things. He wanted to let Eve run things. Now listen. There is nothing wrong with spoiling your wife. Mick, when God brings me a woman, man, I'll cook for her and I'll serve her and turn the food on the plate. I'll go out and work. I will bring my checks home. I work two jobs. I don't have no problem bringing my checks home. Got no problem with that. But she's not going to run my house. When God says do it this way, then that's the way we got to do it. See, Moses went out and had two sons by an Ethiopian woman, Zipporah. Now, y'all may not know this, but it's in the Word. It's in the book. God called Moses to go save the children of Israel. Get them set free from Egypt. Big calling on him. Y'all know that calling. Everybody knows the calling, right? Remember that story when they called him to go? So you go out there and tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. And he said, well, I can't speak. He said, no, you're going to go. He said, no, I can't. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to send Aaron, your brother. He said, but you are going to be as God to Aaron. He said, Aaron's going to only speak what I tell you to tell him. So on that night, he was headed out. Now, how many know this part of the story? On the night he was headed in town to meet his brother, the Lord sought to kill Moses. Anybody remember that part of the story? See, we don't remember that part of the story, Carl. We don't remember that part of the story. It's in the book. The Lord sought to kill him after he called him, chose him, sent him on a mission, told him what it was going to be. You know why? Because Moses had two sons by Zipporah, this Ethiopian woman. And I can only imagine, I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit, because I wasn't there, the conversation. I can only imagine he's telling, because God said, now Moses, I want you to dedicate your sons to me. On the eighth day, I want you to circumcise your sons to me. And I can only imagine his wife, ooh, I don't want you cutting on my babies, Moses. No, don't do that. We ain't getting ready to do that up in here. And I can only imagine Moses not wanting to fight. He's sick of arguing. Whatever, woman, leave me alone. But he didn't circumcise them boys. You know what saved his life? The angel of the Lord came to Zipporah. Said, the Lord fixed to kill Moses because of what you've done with them boys. You haven't circumcised. She ran. The Bible says she ran and got a flint knife and circumcised them herself and took the foreskins and threw at the feet of Moses. And said, here's your bloody covenant. We don't honor what God had. We cherish the gift rather than the gift giver. We are so busy. You know why? When the story of Gideon, when Gideon had 20,000 soldiers, or whatever it was, 32,000, whatever, I can't remember the number, but he had all those soldiers, and they were going to go fight. And Gideon was afraid. He was a frightened farmer. So when God called him, anyway, he said, God, why are you calling me? So I'm not the biggest in my house. I'm the least in Manassas. Oh, you going? But Gideon, like a lot of us, we're nervous. We get scared. God has called you to preach the word. God has called you to run on. God has called you to stand in the gap for somebody. God has called you to be a pillar in your community. God has called you to change some lives. He has called you to stand fast right where you're standing right now. But some of us don't think we can do it because our track record. I can't do it because I'm not like him. I can't do it because I'm not smart as her. So Gideon said, listen, God, I tell you what I'm going to do. I don't know that this you was talking to me. He said, but if this is you talking to me, he said, I want you, I'm going to take my fleece and lay it on the ground. He said, I want you to make the ground wet all around the fleece and keep the fleece dry. The next morning he jumped up and went out there to see. The ground around the fleece was wet all around the fleece, but the fleece was dry. That should have been enough. But Gideon was just like us. See, we act like those people were a lot tougher than us. Those people were just like us. See, we know the end of the story, so we can say, I would have went. He didn't know the end of the story at that point. He was just like us, fallible in his own mind, fallible for real. So he said, Lord, hold on. He said, I tell you what, Lord, this could have been a coincidence. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay this fleece out on the ground again tonight. He said, I want you to have the fleece, the ground all around the fleece dry. And I want the fleece to be wet. He raced out the next morning. The ground all around the fleece was dry. And the fleece was wet. That should have been enough. In my mind, I said, that'd been enough for me. But I have proven over the years that that wasn't enough for me, because God has showed me he was with me before, and I still went back to yesterday. I still went back to yesterday. But God told, God had sent him up. He was talking to a guy, and God sent him to the edge of the camp to listen. And as they were sitting at the edge of the camp, he heard the enemy talking. And the one soldier told the other soldiers, "I had a dream." He's had a dream that we were sitting here, and all of a sudden these big barley things were rolling through the camp. The tumbleweed, they coming through the camp and destroying the camp and all this. And all of us, "Oh God." He said, "If that's what you dream, then God has surely given us over to the hand of Gideon." Gideon heard that. He figured, "Okay, I'm going to go." But here's the point of the story I want to get to. Gideon had 32,000 soldiers. God said, "That's too many, Gideon. That's too many." He said, "Tell some of them don't want to go, to going home." Whoa. Now, Gideon finally had enough courage to go. Now, he's going to answer him. John, he's going to answer. But the man tell him, "Wait a minute, you got too many soldiers. Man, if I'm ready to fight, I want all y'all with me. I want everybody in the room with me. Somebody comes to that door, come on, y'all better come on, help me." But he tell him that he's ready to go. So Gideon said, "Okay, one thing I want to be here, y'all, is cut out." Bible says 12,000 cut out, 20,000 left. Gideon's still like, "Oh, good, but we still got quite a few. We're going to do this." God said, wait, hold on. See, you got too many. Now, you're the trick. Now, I can only imagine me, because I thought I was a little player back in the day. "Oh, Lord, wait a minute, what kind of game are you playing? You know, what is this, man? You think you're talking to?" He said, "Take them down by the water. Here, I'll separate them. Let them get a drink." Now, he said, all of them, they put their head in the water to drink like this here. Send them home. He said, all of them that get down on one knee and bring that water up like this, that's what I'm sending. Why is that? Anybody know why is that?
They were prepared.
It's because God don't want you so consumed with the gift. The water was just a gift. They were thirsty. The water was a gift. The water's yours. But they became more consumed with the water than the mission. God wanted somebody who's going to keep their eye on the mission and still consume the gift. He wanted men and women who are going to keep their eye on the mission but still consume the gift. And that's what it's like when God brings you this woman, when he brings you this mate. See, now I was one of those people, I'd get about a week clean, finally get me a shower, shave, and somebody give me a new shirt, and all of a sudden, I'm Don Juan all over again. I'm the guy in the washing house peeking in the window and got that swag against the wall like this here, waiting on one of them young girls to come down the hall. You know, I was the old pervert down there flashing myself in the washing house. Because I figured my prowess was just great. That was me. You know what I mean? And then I'd always attach myself to some woman. I got a week clean. Between the two of us, we probably got 17 days clean. Between the two of us. I'm jacked up. She's jacked up. She ain't got nowhere to go. I ain't got nowhere to go. I ain't got two nickels to rub together. But I'm in love. I'm in love. This is going to be my wife. Now, I can't concentrate in the thing because she's sitting on one side of the room in the class. I'm on the other side of the room. We giggling and winking, playing. I ain't paying no attention to what's going on. Man said something to me, what? Now, you're embarrassed to be in front of my girl. Now, I got to stand up and act the fool because that's what I do. That's what I do because that's the nature. That's what I knew. I didn't know how to be a man of integrity. I didn't know how to be humble. I did not know how to be patient and wait on the Lord. Moses said, "Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord." I didn't know how to do that. Ambrose, I didn't know how. God knows I wanted the salvation of the Lord. He knows I wanted a whole life. He knows I wanted to be a man. Carl, I didn't know how. Because I always reached back for what I always knew. I knew how to say, man, who you think you're talking to? Now all of a sudden, I'm kicked out. I'm kicked out of the place. Now I'm in love. Now I got to make a choice. Now she make a choice or whatever. And a couple times, one time or so, she may come out and go with me. If he's leaving, I'm leaving. Now there we go walking down Catawba Street. And it's dark. Started to get a little cool outside. We ain't got a dime. But we remember the old haunts we came from. We remember the old trap houses we hung out in. So I'm going to take her to one of the trap houses. One of my guys, like I got these 10 days clean, like that's going to make a difference. He knew the crackhead I was 10 days ago. He knew the credit I had 10 days ago wasn't no good. But now, somehow, I think these 10 days have made a difference. So I'm going to go in and ask him for a little credit. I go in and ask for a little credit. He talked to me like I got a tail. He talked to me like a sixth grade sissy. Now I'm standing there and I want to fight him, but I want that dope. I got this girl with me. I want to show off because that's what I do, but I want this dope. So I'm going to let him talk to me like I got a tail for a few minutes. And then the unthinkable. It's unthinkable in today's world for me, but it wasn't unthinkable then. He said, tell you what, Lyle, come here. Let me holler at you. What's up? Hey, man, I tell you what. Tell her to come on back in the back with me for a little bit. I'll give you something. Now, this is the girl I got thrown out the window. I got thrown out the window. This is the girl I'm going to marry. Oh, we'd have been together 5 days. Show to God, this is my wife. Show to God, this is her. You can't, this, but the good crack addict that I was, hey man, how much you gonna give me? So now, he'll give me a little bit of something till we get through, I'll give you a little something. Being the fool I am, I take this little bit of crumbs and they go on back in the back, I take a couple hits. Now I'm high as Kroger's beef. And he comes out the back room after a while and says, hey man, you know what? She says she's gonna stay here. I just got thrown out, I got thrown out of rehab, Carl Ford. This was a couple hours ago. But I was too silly to understand. And now listen, I'm not ever saying that God won't bring you your wife in a place like this. I'm not ever saying, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I had to learn to wait, man. I had to learn to wait on the Lord. And I still will. Today, let me tell you something. My life has been changed because I'm not so disobedient and I still make dumb decisions sometimes. But I have a support group. I have people whom I talk to. And one thing I have become a snitch now because I will tell on the devil. When he talks to me, I will tell somebody what he just said to me. Because the Bible said there's strength in numbers. Two are stronger than one and three is a strand not easily broken. So I let him know what's going on with me because I'm not ready for some things. So as God began to put me together and put some things together, he began to put things in my life that make sense. Today I have a bank account. Today I have life insurance. Life insurance didn't mean nothing to me. I don't care what happened when I die. Well, I was out there on the dope. I don't care. Leave me there on the ground. Well, I care. I'm not going to know it. Today I've got life insurance. I got enough life insurance to leave somebody something. Because God showed me how to be whole. And I didn't get it the first week. I didn't get it the first year. I had to walk this thing out. The Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. I had to walk this thing out. When I got out of prison, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a bicycle. But I had a hope. I had a hope, and it didn't matter. If I had to get on a bus, I'm going to get on a bus. If I have to talk to somebody, ask for a ride, I'm going to ask for a ride. If I got to walk, I got to walk. And God saw the diligence that I was putting forth to believe in him. He saw that I was holding on to his word when it didn't look like it was going to be nothing. When it looked like there was no possibility, he knew I was holding on to his word. God come and pick me up one day. God's on the truth. But God come and pick me up one day. Hey, man, come on, let me show you something. He took me to a car lot. He said, car right there with a black cat. I got a picture in my phone now. It's a black Cadillac trimmed out in gold. He said, man, that's my car. I said, that's a nice car. He said, here, man, here the keys. He said, man, that's your car now. So that's your car. God knew what I needed. Don't think God don't know what you need. Don't think he's not with you. Don't think, and it took a while. I had to go. When I got saved, I went to prison. I turned myself in, and I went to prison. I stayed in prison for a few years. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, in prison, ordered commissary. Only people visiting me was my family. But I was okay because I believed in the promises of God. I used to run with the black gangster disciples, and in prison, here they come. Because they remembered me, some of them. I got that star on my arm. You take that shower, they see it. And so you know how they do it. If you've been in prison, you know how they do it when they see the little thing. Here they come. I had to begin to tell them who I was. It's not me, man. It's not me no more. I don't do that no more, man. So God changed my life. Oh, man, you prison, what do you call it? Prison religion or whatever. I can't remember. That's all it is. He ain't going to do nothing. I began to hold on. And they would do things. And they want me to ride with them. I wouldn't ride with them no more. So now they start calling me scared. He's scared. Now, you know you men, and women too probably, but you know you men in prison ain't let anybody call you scared. Oh, he's a snitch. He the police. I walked down the hall. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Come on, y'all have been there. You heard. You see them do people that way. Now, there were guys who I could break in half in about 30 seconds. I could have went in this room and kicked the slats out of them in 30 seconds. But God had changed my life, and I knew my life wasn't destined to be in that prison cell the rest of my life. My life wasn't destined to walk down these halls the rest of my life looking at commissary and looking at the TV screen to somebody that put together a schedule that I don't like in the first place. It wasn't destined for me to eat these meals where I can't even tell what it is if I don't look on the schedule. Wasn't destined for that, but you know what? I held on. Always they called all kind of names. People say it's easy to be saved in prison. I'm going to tell you something. It's not if you're really saved. It's not easy to be saved in prison because you're by yourself. See, out here, it's easier to be saved. You know what? Because I got my own, the keys in my pocket over there. I got my own place. I can go home and nobody but me. I can be saved up in there. I can go to Marvin's house. Marvin and his family saved. I can call Nick. They saved. I can go around and save people. In prison, your bunkie not saved. And the guy across the hall from you not saved. The people in the day room aren't saved. I'm telling somebody this, man, because you got to hang on. Your day is coming. Don't get discouraged. Don't do like Adam and take that fruit. Don't take that bite because God's going to turn his back and then everything comes in. You'll be like a city without walls. You can't keep nothing out and you can't keep nothing in. Always starting over. Always back again starting over. The same way. 30 years old, starting over like you was 18. Go back and do it again. 37 years old, now you're starting over like you was 18. Go back and do it again. 43 years old, now you're starting over like you was when you was 18. Go back and do it again. Now you're 50, and you're starting over again like you did when you was 18. At the same place, 18-year-old man, and then you become, at that point, the enemy get to you and start talking crazy. Look at you. You ain't got a pot to pee in and a window to throw it out of. You get you some rocks. Get you a bag of rocks. I walked up out of prison. I think I had, maybe $200. I think I had saved up in there when I walked out. I had this little girl that bought me some clothes and all that. That's another story. But anyway, but I didn't have a whole bunch. And then here comes yesterday. My old buddy. Now, he done did two 20-year bits. He called me. I go by to see him, you know. What's up, man? What's up? I see him on the street ride. He said, well, this big company, stop by the house. I got to talk to you. I go by there. He got a whole Tupperware thing, a little square Tupperware thing full of rocks. I'm going to put you on, man. He said, because you my guy. Now, you know, you've always been my guy. You know, I'm going to get you on and get you. I said, hey, man. I said, nothing there I want, brother. What you talking about, man? Hey, because I'm going to lay you. No, brother. I said, you must don't give a doggone about me. He said, what you mean? I said, don't you know them rocks took 20 years of my life? 20 years of my life I was locked in cages, man. 20 years of my life I lived in dungeons. 20 years of my life I'm walking down the hall like this here. Shackled up, tied up, chained up, bound up. Because I couldn't control this here. And for you to put that back in my life, man, you don't care nothing about me. I had to be strong and get out of there, get away from that mess. I went out and was going to, this guy called me, we were going to start a business. We started working, doing some things together, and he ripped me off. I wanted to kill him. Now, you know me all my life. You know I wanted to kill him. I had got my family involved. I took him down there in Indianapolis with me, and we had got this thing going to training, and he ripped me off. I was going to kill him. In my mind, I had to go somewhere by myself and cry because I couldn't kill him because my family is watching. I became an example. I'm God's preacher today. I have to walk like Jesus walked. I got to endure some things. I can't share in the glory if I can't share in the suffering. So I went back, licked my wounds, and it was okay. Went to this other deal with this guy called me. Somebody said, I ain't go here and get this guy. This guy with this food stuff. The guy called me. He said, I heard about you. I need you. He said, I'm going to open up 4 restaurants. You're going to be the general manager. I'm going to set back in a couple years. I helped him carry all that stuff in the restaurants and get the stuff, all the stuff together. When things got together, the first restaurant opened up in Columbia City, he began to change the tune. And I looked at him. And I wanted to shake him up. Little old man can't whoop me. My hand wasn't hurt back then. That little man cannot whoop me. But that wasn't, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. You can't hold me hostage with that foolishness no more. You can't break me down no more. You can't make me get away anymore in my life with that foolishness. So I just walked out. That's all right. Family asked me, what happened, man? Man, that just wasn't it. That just wasn't it, man. My brother told me, he said, man, Lyle, you done changed. He said, because Lyle, that ain't you. I said, Lance, I'm not that old guy no more. I said, that old guy don't live here no more. And God honored it. God honored it. Mayor's office called me. Talked about a thing called the 10-Point Coalition. Said we need to try to get some people. So I got involved. They didn't say nothing about any money. I got involved because it was a much needed thing. Try to help somebody be different. Then there became stipends in that. And then in that, they called one day from the mayor's office and said there's a company in Fort Wayne. Been in Fort Wayne now since 1926. They make $850 million a year. But they have cultural issues. And they've asked for somebody like you. Somebody like me. The old dope fiend Ambrose. Same old dope fiend stole from my mom, stole from under the Christmas tree. They asked for me. They asked for me because I began to hold on. Wasn't because I was good looking. Wasn't because I was the smartest guy in the world. When I first went in that room and they began to talk to me, the Holy Ghost showed up. And I began to speak. And then I had to tell them, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, some of the things here, I don't even know exactly what all goes on. I said, so you're going to have to even teach me what questions to ask. They took me in, they showed me, we're going to start you with this salary. I said, wow. Wow. And God began to bless my life with the things that I, my Cadillac broke down. And I put a bunch of money in it, and it broke down again. I'm going to get ready close here a second. But it broke down again. I went to get a loan. The people told me, you don't even have a credit score. See, Grody told me, Grody tried to give me a car about this long. I said, man, I can't get in that car. God opened the door. I walked out of the place, man, with a car 3 years old. Nice car. Gave me the loan to get the car. Gave me the money to pay for the car. Gave me my own place. Filled my wardrobes up. Filled my freezers up. Filled my cabinets up. Filled my heart up. God, and he said that he would make me the head and not the tail. He said he'd make me above and not beneath. He'd make me a lender and not the borrower. Almost every night on the street I go out, I buy something for somebody. And it's not because I'm trying to show off. What I'm trying to tell you is wait on the Lord. Don't let that gift sucker you back into yesterday. He should have been man enough to stand up and tell Eve, hey, he should have snatched her by the arm. If you grab that, you better not grab that fruit. You better not grab that fruit. I had to be that way in my life today. I had to let those Eves in my life go. I had to let those things go. Yesterday's just not going to take me back and steal another day from me. And I want to encourage somebody, you can make it. God has called you. The Bible says this, whom God calls, he qualifies. Whom he qualifies, he justifies. Because people were saying, well, how are you taking him? And God qualified me. I've gotten 80 people in that factory since March. Homeless people. One guy was homeless and got him in the car, gave him something to eat, filled out application, and 3 days later he was working. He just got a home 2 months ago. He came and worked. Man, I got my place, my wife, my woman's back, my kid is back. That's what it's about. God has called you to be a conduit, to be a bridge. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Be patient, though. Be patient, though. I came to this place where, Marvin tells you, I came here a long time ago. And I knew just enough word to get me in trouble. And I wanted to preach. I want to preach. I want to say something. I wasn't ready. Wasn't ready. Fall on my face. I came back. I sat down and shut up. I began to listen. I began to grow. I began to listen. And I began to grow. I began to listen. And I began to grow. And one day he said, hey man, would you consider speaking over here one day? and you know the rest of the story. God has a pedestal. He has a soapbox for everybody in this room. He's called you. Your life has been bought with a price. Don't sell yourself short. God bless you. Let's pray.